Happy to be joined now by John Schumann, advanced stats writer, NBA.com. John, thanks for this.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing all right. So this is, we finally saw what we expected to see from this Raptors team in Game 6 of their series against the Wizards. All season long, the bench, that second unit, bench mob. Yeah. And I didn't think it was all Fred VanVleet, as per the reason that they were the third worst bench in the playoffs prior to Game 6. But apparently, I might have been wrong.
You know, I had him third on my sixth man of the year ballot, and after watching Game 6, I was like, man, maybe I should have had him first. You know, he was the they were the best bench collectively in the league, and he was the sort of the fulcrum or the key cog to that unit, and it really showed up in Game 6.
Yeah, it's so strange because when they tried to stagger the stars with those units, with the four-man bench and DeRozan or Lowry, they didn't look as good. They weren't as effective. And sometimes they would play those, like, Washington units without Beal, Porter, or Wall to, it was a stalemate, or they would lose by a couple of points. And yet no one would argue that Fred VanVleet is a better player than DeRozan or Lowry, but there does seem to be – we always debate what chemistry means – and how much that impacts certain players. But I kind of feel like I know it's one game, and you'd hate to go off of a one-game sample size, but if you look at them just like through the entirety of the season and then watching them in that game, and especially the run in the fourth quarter, like, it's kind of hard to deny that there is something unique about the way Fred VanVleet plays with that unit and the way that they all respond to being together as five people.
Yeah, I mean, what's amazing is that in previous three, 4 years, the Raptors always had either Lowry or DeRozan on the floor. DeRozan would finish the first and third quarters. Lowry would start the second and fourth. And it was a Lowry plus four bench guys, Corey Joseph, Patrick Patterson being important parts of that. That was their best sort of time of the game. The two bench guys that they relied on most over those years, Joseph and Patterson, leave, and they decide, hey, we're going to go with five guys. And it really speaks to, one, their development program and for those five guys coming from their G League team. And two, Dwayne Casey's trust in those guys. And that trust showed up in Game 6. There's a couple of that start of the fourth quarter wasn't pretty. They had a couple of ugly possessions. One where Poeltl ended up shooting a three with 1 second on the shot clock. One where Siakam sort of had to make the most of a late shot clock situation and sort of bailed them out with a long jumper. At that point I'm looking at the floor. Saying, man, their offense looks kind of ugly and Lowry and DeRozan are on the bench. Let's see if he goes to them. And no, he was patient and it really paid off. And that trust that had been built over 6 months, showed itself in that key moment.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because you always look at the Raptors crunch time data and what they do late in games and how they've struggled from times and Game 4 was kind of the biggest one in the series with the Wizards because, Bradley Beal's out and you've got a 5 minute game or 5 minutes left in the game where it's 1 point and nothing's happening. The ball movement stops. And we had discussions for like 2 days basically about this all goes back to like who do DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry trust? And clearly Fred VanVleet is one of those players. So what I really find interesting about this series is the Raptors seem to know the way that they'll employ their rotations all the way up until the fourth quarter. And I actually feel like it's kind of different for the Cavaliers where, they're still searching for players that are going to step up. And in the last series, they couldn't find anybody that was going to really play well. Like Kyle Korver is their third leading scorer in a series, and he's 37 years old. Probably not the best thing. But when it gets to the fourth quarter, the Raptors have always seemed to be searching for that group that could match the Cavs or be best suited for the Cavs. And I wonder if there is a group for you that you look at and think, all right, this is the best course of action lineup-wise against this Cavs team that wants to do certain things and run you out of the gym and outshoot you.
It's a good question. I think it'll start with who you want defending LeBron. And so usually the Raptors for late, crunch time starts with Lowry, DeRozan, and VanVleet, right? So then you're playing small at the three. But maybe that's okay if LeBron is playing the four for Cleveland. So it's just I think, you know, the last two depends on one, you know, who you want defending LeBron, whether it be so maybe Ananobi gets some fourth quarter minutes if you feel like he's your best option there, the best, you know. And with that, you just want somebody who can do as good of a job of just staying in front of him, right? Keeping him from getting layups and allowing the other Raptors to stay at home on the Cavs shooters. So that'll be the question I think it starts with. And then if you feel like Valanciunas can give you a matchup advantage inside, then you know, maybe that's what you do. So I think it starts with defending LeBron. The great thing that the Raptors have done this year is that they've defended the three-point line so much better than they did in previous years. If you look back at that last year's series against the Cavs outscored them by more than 25 points per game just on three-point shots. And Toronto came back, and you know, they, with their defense switching more, they've been able to defend the three-point line a much better. And so, and you know, while the Raptors shoot more threes themselves, I think the most important thing that they've done this year, and especially with this opponent in particular, is prevent threes. And that's going to be, you know, I think the most important stat in this series is what Cleveland does from beyond the arc.
So maybe that's the answer to this question, but I think we all understand that the biggest difference between this year's series and last year's second round series is there's no Kyrie Irving for the Cavs. Like, that goes without saying. That's the biggest difference. Outside of that, though, what is the reason to believe that this series will go differently? Outside of Kyrie Irving, what's the biggest difference between these two teams headed into this series?
I think that's one thing. You know, Toronto's ability to defend the three-point line, and defending the three-point line, like I said, is more about preventing threes than actually like getting your opponent to shoot poorly on threes, because that's kind of random. You know, it's easier to prevent them in the first place than to get the opponent to shoot poorly on them. Other thing is, you know, I think the Raptors, just their depth, and that just gives them versatility with lineups. So like I said, finding a defender on LeBron is primary, but then after that, they just have so many options of how to match up. And you know, if the Cavs find a, you know, defender that they like to pick on, and they say, all right, take that guy and have him set screens on LeBron so LeBron can get matched up with that guy. Well, the Raptors have a lot of options where they can sub that guy out and then go with somebody else, you know? So I think that gives them an advantage. And then offensively, you know, the Raptors just move the ball better. And I'll be curious to see how Cleveland defends Toronto. You know, in previous years, the idea was to get the ball out of DeRozan and Lowry's hands and try to make somebody else make plays. And it wasn't in the Raptors' DNA to do that. This year, the Wizards tried doing that in games 1 and 2, and it didn't work. And then they had some success in switching screens and playing softer on screens so that the ball stayed in DeRozan and Lowry's hands and stuck a little bit. And so I'll be curious as to, one, you know, how Cleveland starts out in that regard, if they play those DeRozan and Lowry pick and rolls aggressively and get the balls out of their hands, or they play it softer so that it stays in their hands, and then how Toronto handles that, and then how, if Cleveland adjusts going forward. So there's a lot of things to watch on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, so much of what you said, though, it resonates with why I think Jonas Valanciunas is the most fascinating player in this series, because I hear what you're saying. To me, you're right. It's about staying home on those Cleveland shooters and not letting them whip the ball around so those guys get clean looks and start feeling like they're involved. But then on the other hand, the Raptors don't have a rebounder that's anything like Jonas Valanciunas, and offensively you would think that he would be a mismatch in his own right, that if you want to go small with Kevin Love, sure, now you got to double the ball and it's going to move around, hopefully to someone who is better acclimated to hit three-point shots. But when I think about JV in this series, it's really hard for me to think that, you know, he'll get more than around 20 minutes that he saw in the last two regular season matchups, because I still do ultimately feel like you're probably getting burnt a little bit more defensively than you're getting offensively. And I wonder how you feel like the numbers stack up for him, because the advanced ones are pretty friendly to him, but the eye test when you watch him defensively against the Cavs is usually pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit better defensively this year than he has been in the past. But yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating sort of push and pull with his offense and defense. I think, you know, it'll be curious to see if Cleveland defends pick and rolls aggressively, how much damage he can do on the roll and or sort of switches in underneath against smaller Cleveland defenders. If Kevin Love's playing the five, he should be able to score pretty well against him or against any sort of help coming from the weak side against Cleveland. But then, yeah, if Love is playing the five, you know, how much does Valanciunas's sort of lack of swiftness on that end of the floor hurt the Raptors as far as defending the three-point line? You know, if he is out on the three-point line, you know, maybe that means there's less help when LeBron attacks the basket. So it'll be fascinating to see. I can't wait to see it.
Us too, unless it goes the way last year's series went, then we'll regret.
We're saying that we'll now. We're that. Saying that now
I
until LeBron.
I'm pretty sure it will not be a sweep. I can guarantee in Cleveland's
pretty
favor.
Sure.
At least.
Pretty
I can,
sure.
I can,
okay.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
A lot That's of definitive. Yeah. A lot of -250 favorites on the betting line. Like pretty sure it won't be a sweep. That's just like that's very unique to Toronto.
John, thanks for this.
Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Anytime.